This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Another Saturday night that I ain't got nobody. I got some money cause I just got paid. Now how I wish I had someone to talk to. I'm in an awful way. Dig this. I got in town a month ago. I seen a lot of girls since then. If I could meet them, I could get them. But as yet I haven't met them. That's why I'm in the shape I'm in. Here another Saturday night and I ain't got nobody. I got some money cause I just got paid. Now how I wish I had someone to talk to. I'm in an awful way. Now another fella.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Sam Cooke.
He had a sister who looked just
he came from a ministry background. Used to sing in church. Then he started making money singing. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Monday, February the 26th. We have a lot going on, as we normally do. In a few minutes, Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute will join us. We are going to talk about a new labor law. It forces employers to go and rehire certain workers that they had terminated in the past. Bring them back in. What does that do to the workforce when they've rehired somebody else in their place? We're going to talk about that with Sean Higgins in just a few minutes. And Republicans may block Joe Biden from delivering his State of the Union speech in a couple of weeks. Yeah, he has to submit a budget. He has not submitted a budget. It was due 3 weeks ago. So Republicans are talking about forcing him not to deliver his speech. And as Nikki Haley vows to fight on in her, I guess, waning battle to become the Republican nominee for president, the GOP national chairman is stepping down. She is giving up her post. We're going to give you the details on that. And in our ultimate top 10, do you like to bowl? You ever bowled? Most all of us have at one time or another. We are going to give you the top 10 greatest male bowlers of all time. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. Freedom Works. We are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For men, the best haircut in Tampa Bay. I have never found a better place than in Dunedin, in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop. They are open Tuesday through Saturday. Call first, please, for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life, I have used them. They are terrific. Any kind of tree work that you need done, removing trees, getting trees, pruning trees, stump grinding, call Arbor Life, Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Get a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So let's take a look at what is going on after 2 years now. Can you believe that the Ukraine war has been going on for 2 years? President Zelensky said yesterday that about 31,000 Ukrainian soldiers have perished since Russia invaded the Ukraine 2 years ago. This is the first official figure in more than a year. Now, whether or not it's absolutely right, who knows, right? Zelensky told a news conference in Kyiv that he could not disclose the number of wounded because it would help Russia's military planning. He said 31,000 Ukrainian troops have been killed, not 300,000, not 150,000. He says that Putin might have brought that up, but he is lying there. He said that nevertheless, this is a big loss for us. It's not going well in Ukraine for that country right now, from all I can understand of it. Ukraine has not put a number to its military losses since the end of 2022, when presidential aide Podolyak said about 13,000 Ukrainian soldiers had been killed at that point. It's a sensitive subject, of course, for Ukraine or any country that's in a war trying to reform how it mobilizes civilians into the army. They got to get more people into their army. It's tough out there. I don't know what we're going to do. You know, people are turning against the war here in the United States in terms of funding it. You can't blame them. We don't know where the money is going. Ukraine has never been the most honest. Let's be honest. Ukraine is they got a lot of corruption in there. A lot. It's been going on there for a long time. You want to see Ukraine hold on. I think most Americans do.
Like you said, people are starting to wonder where the money's going. Now we hear that they're running low on ammunition and stuff like that. Where exactly do they buy that from?
Their ammo and their... Well, they're getting... where do they buy it from? That's a good point. I guess we've been sending armed supplies. So they must be getting it from other sources.
So we're sending and giving them money.
Yes, we are. Haven't we been doing both?
How about we just supply them and that's it?
That would make more sense, wouldn't it? At least we would know that they're not wasting the money on some corrupt officials.
It's not like we're corrupt.
Yes, that's true. So, this is highly curious. President Biden is preparing to deliver his State of the Union speech. They do that, of course, every year before a joint session of Congress. But he again has missed his deadline to present his spending and national security plan to Congress. So, some Republicans in Congress want to hold Biden and his feet to the fire and future presidents to the fire or accountable to coming up with a budget. Otherwise, a simple penalty of not allowing him to get up there in front of both houses of Congress and give his State of the Union speech. Now, they have the Budget and Accounting Act of 1921, which has been updated several times, requires a president to submit his budget request to Congress no later than the first Monday in February. Well, it was due February the 6th, which, if my math is correct, that was 3 weeks ago. And so they're 3 weeks overdue. But there's really no enforcement mechanism. No enforcement mechanism. So this is called the Submit It Act, and it would prohibit House or Senate leadership from inviting the president to address a joint session of Congress until Congress gets both the spending and national security plan from the president.
What he has to release, would it be bad news?
Yes.
Well, that's why.
I mean, they're supposed to come up with some idea of what he's going to do this coming year, right?
No.
What is the executive department hoping to do this coming year? I guess that's part of the deal. Then you get to give your speech, supposedly. But
number one on the list would be going up Air Force One without stumbling.
Yeah, walking better. That would be one of his New Year's resolutions, maybe. By the way, Biden's tardiness is not unique, as his four immediate predecessors from both parties were also late in getting their plans to Congress, including good old Donald Trump. So rather than a partisan problem, it's largely a long-running issue between two branches of government.
Just let him do his speech. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gives us more gaffes to look at.
I'm afraid so. They say the teleprompter is huge.
It doesn't matter.
No, I know, but I mean, it must be, the lettering must be absolutely huge, almost life-size, I don't know what.
It could be on his eyeglasses and he'd still screw it up.
Yeah, he might. He might. All right, let's take our break. We're going to change horses a little bit. Our old buddy Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to join us, and we're going to talk about a new labor law. It forces employers to actually rehire certain workers they have terminated. What is up with that?
Where were you when I needed you? You could not be found.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, It's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. It's Monday. Freedom Works. And delighted to have an old friend back, Sean Higgins. He's a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He focuses on labor and deregulation issues. This is right up his alley. This is the National Labor Relations Board. It is apparently mandating the rehiring of certain previously fired workers. It's a new labor policy. Just think about it. You get rid of some of these people that, for whatever reason, you're not comfortable with, and you rehire some other people to take their place. And all of a sudden, you got to rehire the people that you fired because the NLRB tells you you got to do it. Sean, welcome back to Freedom Works. Tell us a little bit about what is this new labor policy?
Hey, good morning, Tampa. Glad to be back.
Yes, sir.
The issue we're talking about is it's a case called specifically Amazon Services v. Gerald Bryson. And it's about a case in Staten Island where a union activist basically was shouting at a bullhorn and basically urging his coworkers to organize against the company. And one coworker who was outside just having a cigarette told him basically to shut up. And he responded by calling her a crack whore and gutter bitch, among other things.
Oh boy!
Through the megaphone, he got fired by Amazon for that, for basically just abusing his coworker. And the NLRB told them, no, you've got to rehire the guy because this is protected activity under the National Labor Relations Act. What we're talking about is not really a new rule, but an expansion of an old one. Previously, workers have been given some leeway in terms of when they're engaged in work union activity for the rhetoric they use, sort of understanding that this stuff can kind of get heated and people can shout at each other from time to time. The issue here is this crossed the line into what's now sort of a threatening workplace environment. I mean, directing stuff like that towards a female coworker is explicitly sort of not allowed by the EEOC under, harassment guidelines. And so what's happened is the Amazon is challenging this on the basis that, well, look, we can't sort of rehire this guy without running afoul of this other federal agency. And in fact the EEOC has in fact warned the NLRB in the past, you got to ease up on this type of stuff because we can't allow these type of situations.
By the way, just for our listeners, the EEOC is the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I should have.
No, that's all right.
So, they're basically pushing Congress to sort of, address this and come up with a rule one way or the other. Because the problem is, where is the line drawn? You've got two different federal agencies that they're both subject to, with different rules on how to deal with this, and obviously they can't comply with both of them. So the question is then, what do they do? That what's going on here is that the NLRB is basically just expanding its own rules, which is something that federal agencies can do, or at least have started to do in recent decades, and said, well, you know, we're going to take this and we're going to reinterpret what the rule means due to changing circumstances, and this is what it means now. And so the NLRB, which has historically sort of stood up for workers in these type of situations, is now pushing it even further, and because they're basically arguing that, well, this is just a pretext. Amazon just wanted to fire this guy because he was a union activist, and Amazon was saying, look, regardless of that, we had to fire this guy because of what he said to his female colleague. So the question is, then, how do you resolve
this? Right. So Amazon is appealing this decision. Is that right?
I don't know what the current legal status of it is. A coalition that Amazon is part of has sent a letter to the two committees on Capitol Hill, urging them to look into this and resolve it one way or the other. The House Education and Workforce Committee and the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pension Committee.
Got it.
Whether or not they actually will is hard to say. I mean, you know, getting Congress's attention on anything is always a catch-as-catch-can situation.
I would suspect that these different agencies overlap in other things over the years as well. This is just maybe one example of it. But here you are sitting as an employer, and you don't even know what you're supposed to do anymore. Right. On the one hand, if you hire the guy back, here's the guy that was screaming at some other employee and violating possibly the EEOC regulations. So now you're affecting that woman that was screamed at, right?
Yeah.
And you hire this guy back. Now he's back in the workforce. So now you got... Now you're just jeopardizing the culture of your workforce. It just goes to show you that why the hell we allow unelected bureaucrats that are fiddling around in these different agencies to come up with this nonsense, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's incumbent upon an agency to make its rules clear. I mean, you can't just simply say, well, you know, we want to oppose this type of activity. No, you have to actually write down in very specific terminology what is allowable and what isn't allowable. And the businesses can't follow it. And it's perfectly legitimate for them to say, wait a minute, we don't understand how we're supposed to comply with this. You've got to tell us what to do. And it's particularly important when there's cases where there's two different agencies that they have to comply with. And this happens a lot in the federal government. And, you know, so far as I know, the interesting thing is that under the current administration, they're trying to get these agencies to work more together as a sort of united front against businesses. We've seen things with like the Federal Trade Commission saying it's also going to go after worker misclassification. So it should, in theory, be easier for them to sort of come up with a coordinated approach to this type of stuff. But I think part of the intention here is actually to make it as confusing as for businesses as possible, to give the agencies as much leeway as they want to sort of go in and ding them whenever they want to. In other words, let's create a sort of target-rich environment where they're damned if they do and damned if they don't. We can go after them this way if they do this, and we can go after them this way if
they
do that.
Boy, that's really... Isn't that Machiavellian? I mean, aren't we all supposed to try and get along here? This is a free market. You know, we're supposed to be the land of the free. What are we doing?
Well, I mean, it's pretty devious, but the job of a regulator is to get the other side. So if you could just create a situation where it's easier to get them, that's what you do. I mean, the point is we need a sort of clearer-headed adult to sort of say, no, you have to have better rules on this, which is the intention of what I'm asking Congress to step in and act on this.
Yes. Now, very interesting case. Sean, before you came on, we were talking about the fact that there are some Republicans that are thinking about forcing Joe Biden to submit a budget plan and a national security plan to Congress, or they're going to try to stop him from delivering his State of the Union speech. I know it's not rightly so. It's not technically your area, but I was wondering if you had a thought on whether or not the president, I think it's like 3 weeks ago that it was supposed to be delivered. He's not the first president to not come up with this. But it used to be, apparently, it used to be that the president would submit these plans and then he'd deliver his State of the Union speech. Any thought on that at all?
Yeah, I mean, the president always submits budgets and that type of stuff, and that's just a preliminary thing that Congress goes out and does its own thing. The interesting thing about the State of the Union address is that it's purely a tradition. There's nothing in the Constitution that says the president has to do this or that Congress has to accommodate them doing it. I mean, I believe there's some language in there that the president must periodically provide information
yes.
to Congress, and that's the essential basis of it. But this notion of a big sort of speech where they sort of lays out, you know, what's going on with the country to Congress is not actually in there. And of course, as we know, it's basically just a chance for the president to sort of force Congress to listen to him and tout his achievements. Because has there ever been a case where a president has got up there and said the State of the Union is weak or we're in bad shape or anything like that? I can't recall an instance of that ever happening. I mean, no president ever wants to say I'm doing a bad job.
I've done a lousy job this past year. What the hell are you listening to me for now?
Or alternately, I mean, has a president ever come up to given a a State of the Union address and said, "You guys in Congress, you're really screwing up."
Yes.
or those nine of you there in the robes, you guys have made some terrible decisions.
Well, as a matter of fact, now that you say that, I do remember. I think it was Barack Obama. He made a backhanded comment about one of the I think it was Alito. Don't quote me. But I remember whatever he said, Alito started shaking his head. There he was, sitting in the front row. You know how they seat the justices up front.
Right.
So actually, yeah. It has been done, I'm afraid.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, I remember that now that you mentioned
yes.
it. And so yeah, it's not completely unprecedented, but it's pretty rare.
It is rare.
The reason why everybody remembered it was because I don't think it had happened prior to that.
That's exactly right.
But the point I'm getting at is there's no actual specific reason why the president has to give this speech. It's
right.
just a tradition. So if Congress wants to block him from doing it, I don't see why not. I mean, again, it's just, there's nothing prevents the president from just giving a speech anywhere else or, some other venue of note or something like that, if that's what they want to
yes,
do.
Yes, it just became a tradition, right?
Yeah.
In fact,
so politics being politics, let it be political.
I actually read George Washington's initial speech. It's like a 2-minute read.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting. And, the tradition kind of started with the original guy. But like you say, it's all they're going to do is tell you how great things have been and how much greater they're going to be this coming year, and try to get out of there without having somebody throw a spitball at you or something, I think. But
it's not an actual conversation in any event. I mean, it's all done with the cameras and
yes.
the reporters in the room. So,
yes. So back to the NLRB and the EEOC and the damned if you're fired and the damned if you're hired. And where do you think that is this going to be resolved, Sean? Are they going to come to some? Is this guy that used the bullhorn to put down some female worker? Do you think he's going to be back in the fold? Any ideas at all about it?
It's possible this type of stuff, either this case or one related to it, may bubble up and become an issue before the Supreme Court because conflicts between different jurisdictions of the federal government are an issue that they do exist to sort of resolve. Ultimately, really, it should be Congress's responsibility to do this because they're the ones that set the sort of parameters for what the law. I mean, they're the ones that write the laws, obviously.
Right.
Agencies are the ones supposed to enact it, so it should be them. But knowing Congress in recent history, they're probably not going to be able to do that. Certainly not with a split Congress like this is. So it's probably something that will come up for the courts. But there's nothing on the horizon about that happening right now.
And what about the guy with the bullhorn? Do you think he'll go back to work there? Or any idea how that is resolved?
They were required to rehire him.
So, oh, they did.
Yeah, I mean that was the upshot of it.
So he's back
in
the fold in Amazon.
My understanding is, yeah, it's one of those. He's basically a union activist, but the issue under the law is that once an employer hires somebody, they've hired. That's essentially it's on them because then once they start engaging in their rights under the National Labor Relations Act, they can't be fired for doing that, and that's sort of the underlying issue in the case. Their claim was that firing him for these actions against the female co-worker was a pretext, and that he was protected under the, his NLRA rights. And so that's sort of the situation that's going there now. The idea is that once an employer hires somebody, if that worker decides to start trying to form a union, well, then the employer's just kind of stuck. They have to.
They have to. So he's getting that protection. All righty. Sean Higgins, always a pleasure to have you. Thank you so very much for coming on, my friend. I look forward to our next chat.
All right. Great being back.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Okie dokie. We're going to take our break. When we come back, as Nikki Haley, you know, she got beaten down there a little bit in that South Carolina primary on Saturday, but she vows to fight on in her waning battle to be the Republican nominee for president. Meantime, the GOP national chairman, a woman, another woman, about to give up her post. We're going to give you the details on that.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, it's Monday. Freedom Works. Thank you for being with us. We're back. So, Saturday, the inevitable happened. Nikki Haley lost to Donald Trump in the South Carolina primary. That is her home state. Despite a dismal performance in the Palmetto State by Nikki, the former UN ambassador making good on her promise to stay in the race. Now placing her bets on next month's Super Tuesday. You know, there's 15 states that are involved in that one. That's over a third of all of the delegates right there on Super Tuesday. I would think if she gets whopped there, that's going to be it. I mean, where else does she go, you know?
No.
Do you think she'll continue on?
I'll tell you, I watched that thing, her concession speech, so to speak, and it seemed like when she started, like she was going to concede.
Yeah.
It's almost like she was toying with us.
Yeah.
It's a game.
Yeah.
She's playing a game. I am fully convinced that she is set out to either join the Democratic Party at one point, or just she's trying to drive a wedge between what's left. Because she's saying, look, if I got 40% of the vote, then that means 40% of the vote doesn't want Donald Trump, and I'm going to hang in there. What she doesn't tell you is that in one election she got beat up by none of the above. And if you take that 40 and you split it in half and say that maybe 20% voted for her, another 10% maybe voted against Trump, and the other 10% were probably Democrats voting. So she maybe got 20%, maybe. But to me, Paul, this whole party thing, I would kick her ass out so fast.
But
because what she's doing is she's clearly trying to destroy it.
If she were not in the Republican Party, she may run as an independent. That would screw things up for the Republicans.
I don't think that many. I don't think
there's a lot of Republicans that might go off the reservation.
I would worry
a lot if Nikki Haley decided.
She's purposely doing this, though. There's no doubt. She's purposely doing it. I wouldn't hire her to greet my front door. And after this point, I'm over that cheeky.
Well, let's
poo.
See what our two brothers, our Eye in the Northern Sky, Angelo Cerasi, and the Master Barber himself, his younger brother, Andrew Cerasi, are on the line with us. Gentlemen, what do you think about Nikki Haley continuing on into the Super Tuesday? Angelo, what do you think? Do you think she should have dropped out a long time ago? Are you worried that she has ulterior motives?
Well, I'm sure she does have ulterior motives. If you recall back in 2016, when Donald Trump was running for president at the time as a candidate, she really didn't want to back him up. She wouldn't endorse him or anything like that. And if I recall, I don't know how true the story is, the governor then, after her, asked the president, because he was one of the first people to endorse Trump from South Carolina, to get rid of her, give her a job, get her the heck out of South Carolina. And Trump gave her the job, which not really that great of a job, ambassador to the UN,
Well, that sounds like a pretty good job to me. I wouldn't mind having it. Maybe I wouldn't.
To get her out of there. Later on, she started endorsing him. But if you recall back then, if you can pick up some video clips, she would not.
She was not a big Trumper.
She's not a Trumper.
She was not a big Trumper.
No, she's not.
Andrew, what do you think about her staying in the race?
Well, Paul,
there we go.
She's got ulterior motives. I feel bad for her husband because that's why that guy wants to stay overseas. I don't think he can hit her either. But I think the party's over with her. I'm with Ed. I think she's going to go switch to the Democrat Party.
God, that would be horrible for the Republicans. We don't want that. I mean, we do not want that. I think she would not do that. I really don't think she would. She would blow up everything, any chance she might have to run again. I honestly don't think she would do it.
But she lost in her own state by 20 points.
Yes, she did. That's because Trump is big time. That's a big time conservative state.
That just tells me if you
big
can't.
Big time. They like Trump.
That just tells me if you can't win in your own backyard, you're not popular.
But she would
in anybody
destroy her
backyard.
Career, Ed. She would destroy her career.
Well, then back
it's
out.
Already destroyed.
Yeah.
I think if she. Yes, I agree that if she backed out now, et cetera, it would be better for her. But I don't you think she's young enough? Don't you think that she's considering the idea that she will run again in 4 years?
She's got a heck of an ego. She'll try. She says.
Well, they all have it. My God, nobody's got a bigger ego than Trump.
Well,
hold my beer.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Andrew. What do you have to say?
I just said, hold my beer when you said nobody has a bigger ego than Trump.
Okay, well, am I wrong?
Trump has an ego, big time.
So, I mean, they all do. All of those people that run like they're in front of the camera all the time. They like to be.
Oh, yeah, they all
got big egos.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with having a big ego.
Why was it in her own home state she only had about 50 people at her party? Even the media said it's a very, very small crowd for being in her home state.
I'm talking about
Nikki Haley Saturday night.
Oh, you're talking about the reception.
So it's a very, very small crowd.
Yes.
Let me tell you guys something. All her supporters are pulling her money away from her. Once they pull the money away, she's done. She's not spending it all.
Well, I think
the Democrats.
That's a good point.
The rhinos and the Democrats are giving her the money. Like the Cook Corporation, right? Those people there. They were big time Republican donors.
All right, well, let's focus now on the Super Tuesday, which is coming up next month. 15 states are going to be holding primaries on the same day. So let's assume that Nikki Haley gets zonked, and she doesn't come up with hardly anything there. She's got to drop out at that point, correct? And then she will endorse Donald Trump. Are we still on board with that, or do any of you think that she will, A, not drop out, or B, drop out but not endorse Donald Trump?
She won't drop out, and she won't endorse Donald Trump.
She's going to stay in. That's Angelo saying that.
That's me saying it, yeah.
Okay, Angelo. What do you think, Andrew? Is she going to drop out, or is she going to stay in all the way?
Well, again, it all depends on the money, and I don't think her supporters are backing her. The Koch brothers, they said they're not giving her no more money. Okay, one of the super PACs that was backing her isn't giving her any more money. What's she going to do, dip in her own pocket? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. So you're saying, Andrew, that she stays in as long as the money supply holds out. Then she's gone.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. No
okay.
question.
I mean, the thing is, like, you know, they say 40%, like Ed said, I doubt 40% actually voted for her, you know? Like in that Super Tuesday, Democrats are able to vote in the primary for the Republican primary also.
Yeah, a lot of them they are.
Why?
Right.
Why isn't it? Why don't these states just have, if you're a Republican, registered Republican, yeah, like New York State, you vote in a Republican primary?
I would think so. Now, if you cross over and vote in the other party's primary, you are not allowed to vote in your own. You can't vote twice.
Well, does it really matter? Because the Democrats only have one in their own.
That's side. Right. So you're right about
the
that.
The only one that can beat Joe Biden this tomorrow is none of the above.
None of the above. So there's reason for some of these Democrats to cross over, no question about it. Hey, I want to get on to the other topic I've been highlighting a little bit. Republican National Committee Chairman Rona McDaniel is going to formally resign her spot after the March 5th Super Tuesday primaries. Now, President Trump has been trying to nudge her over the edge and nudge her off that job. He's been asking her to step down. So he's got a lot of pull, does he not, in the party? She's doing it. Is she doing it, do you think, specifically because of Trump? Any ideas on that? The announcement says it comes weeks after Trump revealed his recommendation for a change within the Republican National Committee. He proposes that the North Carolina GOP chairman, a guy by the name of Michael Whatley, become the RNC chairman. So it looks like maybe there's a shot for him there. What do you think about that, Angelo? Any thought?
Well, you know, the last election, she was the RNC chairman. Look how we did. Terrible. They didn't get the message out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And she should have resigned then. But she ran against a couple other people, again, this past, I think, fall, if I recall,
mm-hmm,
to run for RNC chairman. And she did a lousy job.
Yeah.
Also, and not for nothing. I know she's related to Mitt.
They were disappointed, were they not, in the off-year election
off-year
results?
Off-year elections, yeah. Yeah. Very disappointed. There was supposed to be a red wave,
mm-hmm,
and nothing came about. Her administration and the RNC didn't do anything to combat the Supreme Court thing that leaked the abortion issue, right?
Yeah.
And still to this date, nobody knows who did it, right? How many employees do they have in the Supreme Court that they can't find the person
that
leaked it?
Well, that's sort of the court's fault, is it not?
Well, absolutely, but it's also the RNC chairman for not pushing the issue.
I see.
Keeping it in the limelight. Keep forcing the issue. Hey, who did this? Mm-hmm. Who sabotaged that election?
Here's another reason Trump might be trying to knock her out of there. His daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, could be part of the RNC committee herself underneath Whatley.
Co-chair, right.
Yeah. And another, I guess, Trumper, senior advisor, Chris, what's his name? Lacevita, I think that is. Chris Lacevita could also be a part of that. So there's a little bit of, you know, a little family and friendly kind of thing there with as far as Trump is concerned. I guess he's not been a fan of this Rona McDaniel for whatever reason.
Well, you know, the thing is, he's learned a lot from when he was president. When he went green, he saw what was really happening, where people in the Republican Party were, you know, the rhinos,
mm-hmm,
like the Mitt Romneys and, you know, the who was the Speaker of the House under Republican?
Mitch McConnell.
Oh, Mitch, you talk about the Senate.
The Speaker.
You talk about the Republican Senator? Or are you talking about, Michael Johnson.
Who?
You talking about the Speaker of the House?
The Speaker of the House,
Michael
yeah.
Johnson.
No, not Michael Jackson. The one who was Speaker of the House when
McCarthy
was president.
Oh.
The guy who looked like Wolfman over there.
I'm trying to remember. Was it?
He ran with, didn't he run with Romney?
Ted Cruz?
Who?
Ted Cruz?
No, not Ted Cruz.
He
looks like Wolfman these days.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, no, the other guy.
let's go with it.
Anyway, regardless, go ahead. What's your point?
He was, all these people were running against Trump. You know what I'm saying? They were going against Trump, the deep state of the Republican Party. You know? The ones who, the Never Trumpers, the people from the Lincoln Project and everything. That person who was the
I know who you're talking about now. The Speaker of the House was from Wisconsin. That's who you're talking about, Ed.
Yeah, the guy, like the Speaker of the House.
Yeah, he was not. He was not a big time Trump fan.
No, he was not a big time
right.
Trump fan.
Yeah, he's a Wisconsin senator, Wisconsin congressman.
They did not keep the people behind Trump. You know what I'm saying? The Republicans always have a tendency of fighting amongst themselves. As you can see what they did with the last speaker here a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
They had the House, they had the Senate, and they couldn't get none of the stuff passed that Trump wanted to do. A lot of the stuff. They were fighting him. So, the RNC chairman at the time and the higher-ups of the Republican Party didn't keep it together. They were fighting him, and they were going along with the Democrats that he was Russian collusion, the whole nine yards.
Right.
So now Trump has learned, through all his mistakes that he made as president by keeping a lot of these people around, you got to get rid of these people because they're doing a disarm to this country and everything else and to the president of the United States.
Gotcha.
One simple thing, guys. The reason Trump wants McDaniel's gone is because it's Mitt Romney's niece.
Is she?
Oh, yeah, she is. She's his niece.
That's why he wants her gone.
Okay.
That's a simple answer. All
yeah.
that talk, that's it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That would
that's
be a
reason.
Yes.
Mitt Romney's niece, buddy. She's against Trump. She needs to go. You're fired. The only thing is they're going to have to hire her back because they can't fire the people no more, right, Paul?
Well,
what you guys were talking about earlier.
Yeah, she says she's going. She says she's leaving.
She should.
So there you go. Guys, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so very much, both of you, for being on this Monday. Looking forward to the next time we chat. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you. Quite welcome.
Have a good day.
All right, guys.
Take care.
All right. Take care. There they go, the Ceresi brothers. All right, going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, do you like to bowl? We are going to give you the top 10 all-time greatest male bowlers.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Heading up to San Francisco.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Words. We thank you so very much for joining us on this Monday. And by the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, here on the Tantalk Radio Network. We thank you whenever you can listen. If you're not able to listen live, Big Ed, thanks to him, you can listen to our show anytime. All you've got to do, go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Ed's got all our shows on podcast. Click on the podcast button at the top. It will open up. You will see the most recent show at the top. You will see who the guest is. You will see the topic with the guest, and you will see our top 10. God bless Big Ed. All right. Boy, this is a little bit scary. Listen to this, Ed. Several companies, including Walmart, T-Mobile, Starbucks, Chevron, and Delta Airlines, are now reportedly monitoring employee conversations on messaging apps using software from a startup AI company called Aware. Now, isn't that scary as hell?
Is that when they're away from work?
No. Apparently when they're, mixing it up around the water cooler.
If they're in the building, they should be working.
That's true. But what if you're taking a break? Would you like your conversation to be monitored, Ed, no matter what?
I don't think so. I have anything to hide, but...
No, I know you don't, but you know what I mean.
That's
kind of spooky. Yeah. Aware, its software is set to scan platforms like Slack and Microsoft Teams for keywords that may indicate employee dissatisfaction and potential safety risks. So apparently if you're using your email in the company email,
right?
Maybe that's it, right? They're not like going into your personal conference.
Yeah.
According to statistics published by Slack, one of the leading messaging apps for businesses, the communication tool is used by more than 100,000 organizations. Here is somebody saying this. The work from anywhere business model is here to stay. That's Slack's site. Says the work from anywhere business model is here to stay. Before listing companies like IBM, Target, Time, Airbnb, and the aforementioned T-Mobile as clients. I don't know. I guess this is a brave new world, you know? The more we're in it, the longer we're going here,
the more
intrusive everything is becoming.
Yeah.
Everything. You just can't. Your privacy is a thing of the past. Let's be honest. Your privacy
pretty
is
much
a thing of the past.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. I guess so. Okay, before we get to our top 10, we have a good one, Ed. Top 10. Do you like to bowl, Ed? You ever bowled?
I used to bowl. Not lately.
Had a bowling ball. I had my own shoes.
I didn't go that far.
Quite a while. I wasn't anything great. I think the highest I ever got was 188 or something.
Yeah.
I think I bowled about 5 or 6 strikes in a row one time. I woke up the next day.
I was a recreational bowler.
Yeah, well, me too. Anything going on in sports we need to know about before we get?
Actually, the spring training games started over the weekend.
Oh, they did?
The Rays, I don't even know. I don't count the spring training games because it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
Sometimes it's split squad and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I know they played the Tigers, and then the Lightning had a nice little winning streak over the weekend.
Good. They won a couple of games?
Yep, they did.
Oh, that's good news. By the way, where do the Rays train for spring training?
It's in Port Charlotte.
Okay. It's about 65 miles south of us?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Ed. Get over to the drums, please. This is from Rookie Road Sports Encyclopedia. And it gives us the top 10 greatest male bowlers of all time. Well, it says top 10 greatest bowlers, but they're all men. Well, I would suspect they would be, but that's the way it goes. So here we go, without further ado.
Number two. That was always a staple. You remember Kenny that was on here, Kenny the bowling.
Oh, yeah, I remember Kenny.
Kenny sure. For 10 years or whatever it was.
Yeah, they had the sports.
That was always a staple on, like, Saturday. You know, there was the bowling on Saturday, the competitive bowling.
Yeah.
And then it just went
away.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 10. Del Ballard Jr. is his name. 13 PBA, which is Professional Bowling Association, 13 PBA Tour wins, 17 PBA Regional Tour wins, and he's in both the PBA and the U.S. Bowling Congress Hall of Fame. Number 9, Dick Weber, I remember that name, 26-time PBA titleist, 4-time All-Star winner, 6-time PBA senior titleist.
I remember he was on Kenny's show quite a bit.
Dick Weber?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you see him? Well, of course you would have.
Well, we were radio, so I couldn't see him.
No, but were you doing the show?
Yeah, yeah.
How old was he then?
Oh, I don't know.
He's pretty old.
Kenny even passed away about 3 years ago.
Yeah, that sounds
so, yeah.
Did he? Okay. Number eight is Don Carter. I remember Don Carter. He had a real straight. He was a long, lean guy. He had the strangest delivery, but man, was he good. 4-time All-Star winner, Masters winner, PBA National Championship winner, first ever PBA president. Mm. Okay, I think he's also passed away. Number 7, Mike Albee, A-U-L-B-Y, don't know him, but 29-time PBA titleist, 2-time PBA Player of the Year, and he was Player of the Year both in 1985 and 1989. Number 6, Mark Roth, 34 PBA Tour titles, 4-time PBA Player of the Year, years 77, 78, 79, and 84. Number 5, Norm Duke, 37 PBA Tour titles, 3 PBA World Championships, 2-time PBA Player of the Year. Number 4, Walter Ray Williams Jr., 47 PBA Tour titles, 7-time Player of the Year, first bowler to surpass $4 million in winnings. Mm. Wow. Yeah, you never think of bowlers as being real rich.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 3. This is the name from the past. I remember this guy, Earl Anthony. Mm. 6 PBA National Championships, 43 PBA Tour titles, 7 PBA Senior titles. Number 2. Jason Belmonte, or Belmont. 16 PBA career standard titles, 15 PBA career major titles, 7-time Chris Schenkel Player of the Year. All right, Ed, unless you know something about bowling, any idea at all?
Probably going to sound familiar when you say it, but I thought Dick Weber was up at the top. But
you're half right.
Probably going to. Is there another Weber?
Yes.
Okay.
Pete Weber.
Okay, well, there you go.
It might be, and I think he might be related. 37 PBA Tour titles, completed the Triple Crown twice, getting all of the major awards, 1989 and 2013. What a spread of time that was. He won 10 titles by the time he was 24 years old. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think he is either the son of Dick Weber or related. But Weber is a common name, so I'm not positive on that one. So there you go. All right. Thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back on Wednesday. Be careful out there. And do remember, freedom works.
Nibbling on sponge cake, watching the sun bake, all of those tourists